Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris, Ms. Lisa, choir. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And I want to look at a few passages today, but we'll start in Luke chapter 19. And I want to talk about what it means to be lost today. This may be for us, for one of you, and it may be for just for you to remind you of those around you and how to pray for them more a little bit. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read just that one verse. For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. You all know the story. It's about Zacchaeus, the wee little man, climbing up the sycamore tree. And so that's where this context in the proper text is, where Jesus says the reason he came is to save the lost. And so this morning, I would say lost is a lost word in many churches. Many preachers are not preaching about redemption and the consequences of sin and all of that. However, even with so much universalism or ecumenical teaching, which means they just kind of blend in everything or let everything appear biblical, which you and I know it's not, stuff has crept into our churches to really confuse our people at times. And so people don't know what to believe anymore. Churches seem to care more about social issues and stuff more than they do about exactly what God's Word says. We care about that stuff as well, but we have to stay on point. What God, the reason we're here and why we're here, and is to help people see their need for their lostness. They need to be redeemed by the blood, just like we have been. And so the preaching and teaching of God's Word in our day, unfortunately, seems to be non-existent in many circles. And I would even say hermeneutics is really gone off the chart. And that is the art and interpretation of the Bible, how the Bible is understood, how we interpret God's Word correctly, hermeneutics. And there's some very bad hermeneutics. I'll give you an example of a bad hermeneutics. Sometimes people isolate a verse, they'll pick a verse, and they'll build their whole theology around one verse. It's called isolationism. For instance, the Roman Catholic Church, they take Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, where Jesus says, upon this church I'll build my rock. And they use that as their proof that Peter was the first pope. And you and I know Jesus didn't mean the church is going to be built on Peter. Jesus meant, anybody that has a understanding of the entirety of Scripture knows that Jesus is talking about the confession of Peter. The confession that Christ is Lord. Not one man is going to be, the church is going to be built upon him. But again, bad hermeneutics. They take one little isolated verse and they build their whole theology around it. We see it quite a bit. We even see it in other entities, and I can list hundreds, but for instance, Matthew chapter 24, the Jehovah Witnesses or the Watchtower Society, they use that as proof, Matthew 24, 45 through 47, that God appointed the Jehovah Witnesses to be the channel of communication for the modern world, which you and I know there's nothing in there that says that, Matthew 24, 45. So that's why we see so much confusion, and even with this word loss. What does it mean? We don't hear it very often. I would say even in our Southern Baptist churches, preachers rarely say anything about unregenerate people going to hell, or or being lost, and I submit to you that the word, the lost word, keeps people lost. For a preacher to shy away from telling a person that he's rejecting the gospel, or you're rejecting what God says and rejecting God's truth, I would say is sin itself from the preacher. Everyone needs to know how serious eternity is and how serious the future is when we stand before a holy and a righteous God. And so, as Jesus was speaking to Zacchaeus in our text today, that's what he tells us. He tells us why he came. He came to seek and save the lost. And so what does it mean from a biblical viewpoint? What does it mean to be lost? Let me give you a few little nuggets to sort of hang our hat on this morning. First of all, to be lost means to be without hope, any kind of hope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. If you have, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Look at what that text says. Paul obviously writing to the church at Ephesus, Christians there. And he says this in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise. And here's the phrase I want you to think with me for a moment. Having no hope, Paul says to the church. Having no hope. So he is helping us see that someone that's lost, someone that's unregenerate, it may appear they have hope, but they have no hope. Paul tells the Christians there that when someone is in this state, and we know many people like that, probably most of the people we know, and maybe that's what we need to tell them sometimes whenever we get a chance. Many feel they're not, perhaps. Many in our society, I would say, even feel like they don't have any hope. Maybe it's because they don't. Because hope's not found in money, in health, even good health. Hope's not found in that. Hope is not found in happiness. So we all want to have a good life, an enjoyable life. We know hope is not found in those things. Those things are external. Those things are temporal. Hope's found only in one place, in the Lord Jesus. Let me give you a few verses to prove what I mean. I love Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 tells us, God willed to make known a mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. Those of us that know Him, those of us that were lost and we trusted Christ, but we have the hope of glory. As Brother Chris and you sing about today, that glory, we have the hope of glory. Because of Christ and what He's done. I love this verse, Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. Dear friends, you know this as well as I do. We cannot make it without this hope, this blessed hope, blessed assurance, knowing that Jesus is ours. Psalms chapter 39, verse 7 says it as well. It says, and so, Lord, where do I put my hope? And then the question is answered there. My only hope is in you. Think about those people around us that we see every day. They're just wandering aimlessly. It could be a relative. It could be a neighbor or a stranger. They're without hope. That's what the scriptures say. We have hope, but to be lost They don't have it. To be lost, secondly, let me give you another one. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. Tremendous verses God gives us regarding hope. Let me give you the second truth. To be lost means, obviously, without God. It tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, at the end of that verse, it says, look at what it says. It says, having no hope and without God in the world. We don't have hope. We don't have God as well. And if we don't have God, we don't have hope. We know that. Paul reminds the Ephesian believers that they were once without hope and they were also without God as well. Times in our society, in our world, just like it's always been, are desperate. And people need God more, perhaps, as we always have. There's, financial ruin, serious surgeries and illnesses and family problems. Lost people have nowhere to go. They can't run to God. Obviously they can, but they don't know they can, or either they don't want to. How sad it must be in times of trouble to feel like you have nowhere to go. It's got to be just devastating. And most of our world are in that predicament. Psalms chapter 62, verse 1 says this, my soul finds rest where? In God alone. My salvation comes from Him. I ran across a little saying recently, and I found a slide that speaks of it. You may have seen it before. Without God, our week would be sin day, mourn day, tears day, wasted day, a waste day, thirst day, fight day, shatter day. 7 days without God makes 1 week. That's true, isn't it? We know that we struggle with some of this stuff. We're all still trying to become more like Jesus, but you and I know, brothers and sisters, without God, we have no hope. We have no eternity, eternal life. We have none of this stuff that the Scriptures speak of. We don't have the glory, the hope of glory. We don't have any of that thing, great things that Jesus offers us. Oswald Chambers says this. He says the real attitude of sin in the heart towards God is that being without God, it is pride, the worship of myself, that the great atheistic fact, that he said that is the great atheistic fact in human life. To worship, not to want to worship God, to be without God, is, he says, worshiping ourselves. What a beautiful truth that is. John chapter 6, I don't have that on your screen. John chapter 6, verse 68, Peter asked the question, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where can we go? And we know that the only place we can go for eternal life, for hope, for glory is the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Without faith. And so as we trust the Lord, as we've surrendered to Him, we've repented and we believe what the Scriptures say about the Lord Jesus, the lost people haven't done that. 1 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus. Isn't that something? 1 billion people. Most of the people in this world have heard the name of Jesus, probably though. 1 billion people on the road to hell, and those that have not heard it have heard it. All of them are on that road. That's why we need missionaries. God says, You know, they haven't heard. That's why we need preachers. That's why we need you and me and all of us to share. Because they're lost and they're without hope and they're without God and they're without anything true, you know, spiritual direction. It means to be without God. It means to be without hope. Let me give you the last little truth. And we could find many, many more. But to be lost means, obviously, no eternal life. 1 John tells us very well. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." Many people think they're just going to make it to heaven their own way, the way they want to. They can believe what they want to believe about Jesus. They can believe he was just a good man, or he was just a prophet, or he was just this or just that, and they feel like just having a little bit of understanding, but not what the scriptures say, will lead them to eternity or lead them to heaven. But that's not so. That's not what the scriptures teach. Because that's what a lost person does. He may know a little bit, but he don't know what the scriptures say. He doesn't believe, like a little child, what God says about us and what God says about him. Jesus offers all of us eternal life. Every person we know that who refuses to believe that he is the Son of God, that he is divine, he is holy, he is righteous. He did come, born of a virgin and lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose 3 days later. People that don't want to believe that, they'll have their eternity, but we know it's eternal death. That's their death, eternal death. Forever and ever. And since Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that's the only way, John 14 tells us. I ran across a gentleman that passed away a long time ago, but the story is related to what I'm speaking about. There's John 5:12. Let me read that again. 1 John, "He who has the Son of life has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." David Hume is the one I wanted to mention. You see, he died on Independence Day. He's a Scottish philosopher, and he was an atheist of his day. And again, he died on the same year that America celebrates our independence, 1776. This guy was famous for his philosophy, for his skepticism of religion. He cried out, if the story is true, from what I've read, on his deathbed, he cried out, "I am in flames." Can you imagine that? All of his skepticism, all of his atheistic leanings, on his deathbed, "I'm in flames." Can you imagine what that must have been like? David Hume was lost. That was his problem. And he had no eternal life. He had no relationship with the one true God. He rejected God. He believed in himself more than he believed in God. And he was without hope. And so the question this morning is, real simple question, for all of us. It's always good for us to ask this question on a regular basis, whether it's at a revival or just a regular church service. Here's the question. If you died right now, where would you go? Hopefully it wouldn't be where David Hume went, up in flames. Maybe, just maybe. I don't know. We know that Every day needs to be our Independence Day, where we trust God, declaring our dependence on God and independence from the devil. Jesus took our place on the cross, brothers and sisters, and he rose again 3 days later. The faith of a child is all it takes. Let's pray. Father, if there's one, may that one be honest and true with you today, and not evasive, not flippant, but let you convict them, Father, as they are. If everyone in here, Lord, knows you, may they rejoice because of what you've done in their life. You have saved them. You've redeemed them. And no longer are they without you. And no longer are they without hope. And no longer are they without a future of eternal life forever and ever. Lord, we love you, and again we praise you in Christ's holy name. Amen.